Zuckerman.
Yes.
Yes. When did you first come to Lakewood?
Well, it's like this. I came to Lakewood twice.
Mm-hmm.
First, I came when I was 17 years old. What was it? It was in 52, 53 there. I came, and the Rishiva first gave me a fair in his house. I came to his house.
What motivated you to come in the first place?
Well, first of all, one of my rebbeim, Yehuda Davis, he was very close to Rishiva's house. He sent Bochum to Lakewood.
Which is that the one from Mountaindale?
Later he was in Mountaindale. Uh-huh. When I was lunch by him, he wasn't in Mountaindale.
Where was
yet.
He?
He was in Brighton.
Right. Where'd you live?
I lived in Brighton.
Uh-huh.
Yeshiva Brighton. And he's the one who brought him to Brighton. And then
he's the one that brought Rabban to Brighton.
No, Rabban brought the Balabatim and the Brighton Yeshiva were very close. There was a Mr. Samuel Gottlieb,
uh-huh,
who was real from the pioneers in America, a wealthy man who was on the board of directors of Lake, who was really close with the Yeshiva.
Yeah.
And they needed a principal in the Yeshiva Brighton.
Yeah.
And the Yeshiva's Athal recommended this Reb Yehuda Davis. He was very close to Reb Yehuda Davis.
Where did he know him from?
Well, Reb Yehuda Davis learned in Slobodka. He was,
uh-huh,
an American who went to Slobodka. He went with John Victor Miller of Nussen before the war. And then after the war, these types of people were close to the Yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
And in Yoni Chinuch, he involved him in Tarmasur a little bit when Tarmasur was organized. And then he came to the Yeshiva Brighton to give a fahem. He came to give bechinas in all the classes.
Who came?
Reb Aaron Kotler,
uh-huh,
the Yeshiva Zatzal came to give a fahem.
What year was that?
I would say about 45.
Oh.
Whatever. 46. All the way back with the kids in Yeshiva. And the Balabatim were close to him. And, of course, the Shmai Ha'ilach Lefonov. And then also, I got Rabbi Yosef Rosenblum, Talmud of Lakewood, married Rabbi Yehuda Davis's daughter.
Uh-huh.
He was, of course, at the Hasana. I mean, he was, as a child, we always were speaking about him.
He's well connected into that scene.
What?
He's well connected into that environment.
Then, of course, that was the yeshiva out of town. That was the yeshiva without college. That was the ideal place to go to learn. And
so you learned in Yeshiva Brighton?
Then I went to other yeshivas before, after that. But then when I was 17, I decided I wanted to go learn in Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
So I prepared a shtickel Torah.
Yeah.
The Sefer Diyana Silam from Yaina Minska from the Grace of Mir was just printed.
I didn't hear the name of the Sefer.
Rabbi Yaina Minska, Sefer Yaina Silam.
Yonis
Elaim.
Yonis Elaim.
He was from the Big Mirror Talmud, and it just came out, and I was learning about Metzia.
What was his name again?
Rabbi Yaina Minsky was called.
Okay, right.
From the Big Mirror Talmud, he was never killed in the war.
Uh-huh.
Together with Ruchan of Wasserman, and I saw a shtickel Torah on Avudim Menem Mikol Odom, a chiddush shtickel Torah. So I was a bacha 17. I learned it, and I came and I told it over to Rashiva. I think I did tell him it's from Yehuda Minsk, but he asked me a kasha. He showed me a smaf hakert right away, and then he said, it'll take the Gemara Merubah, that's how he used to give it the Fehez.
That's the standard.
And Samachay Amid Aleph learned through a blot and a half of Gemara. It's one of the hardest Gemaras around with Lumpus, Karen Kang Chigon. That was the standard Fehez. And he said, come to Lake, learn and come. So I came to Lakewood for a Shabbos. So I learned it a little bit. And then they were learning Kiddushin.
Yeah.
And there was someone, Rabbi Shazaks, he was in Lakewood then. Now he's a Rav in Matistov.
We have to write this down.
Today the Haredis.
Wait. Moshe Zaks.
Yeah, he's a Rav in there, it's Israel. He lives in Matistov.
Is he related to Zaks from the Chavetz Chaim?
No relation. Uh-huh. He has a brother, of Baruch Zaks, who's in Bar Park, a Rav. But he came from RJJ.
Now he's in
Matistov. He's a Dayan and Day the Haredis, I think.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't last long in Lakewood. He wasn't there for long either. He had allergies or whatever. So he was there. So there was Marma Kermis for this year. So I learned with him. I don't know how I got connected with him, but I learned with him the Marma Kermis for this year.
Yeah.
And I listened to the Shia, and then afterwards I went over to Rosh Hashiva, and he asked me, did you understand the Shia? So I said, parts of it.
Pretty good.
I couldn't have a whole Shia.
A lot of people said no.
I understood here and there a little bit. So he said, if I stay to Shia, I can't stop living, though. That was just like he didn't eat it for him beyond the Gemara.
And that was the first time.
The first time, right.
Uh-huh.
And then I was there for a few. I was there for Rosh Hashanah.
Okay. What year was that? It was 45, 46?
Yes. No, a little, 1 second, no. No, that wasn't 45, 1 second. That was in 52.
52, okay, yeah. That makes more sense.
52.
He came to Brighton in 45.
Right, around that time. So I was there a couple of days. I went to Ramay Shizman said a blotchia.
Yeah.
I went to his blotchia. Mm-hmm. And then there were the older Bokhrim, you know a little bit, the Revelvel, Zev Tikotsky was an older Bokhrim then,
right.
And the Revelvel Pearl was an older Bokhrim then, and they told me, you're too young. I would have been the youngest in the yeshiva probably. Said, you're too young.
Who said you're too young?
These older Bokhrim, they said, first you have to go hear a good blotch here.
Uh-huh.
Not good to come yet, the lake with you.
Not ready.
You're not ready for it. Too young. So I went over to the Rashiv and I told him I want to go to Shmuel Brudny for your side.
Yeah.
So I went. I left. I stayed there much longer. Then 5 years later, Rebbe Yitzvei, the Rashiv was going to Eretz Yisrael. And Rebbe Yitzvei was going for a Shabbos. Rebbe Yitzvei was learning in the Mir then, Alt Jungerman. He became an aide in Barav Kalmanovich. And I was very friendly with him. I learned with him, and I went with him for Shabbos to Lakewood, to go back to Lakewood. So the Rashiva, he told the Rashiva about me. So the Rashiva said, he remembered me. He said, that Gizok, that Kumtzik in the year, and the Kumtzik finished Yashbet.
He helped me
cup. So then I prepared a shtickle Torah for the Briskerov. Then I was already an older Bocha, not a young Bocha. I said, Rashiva wouldn't give me a feher ready. And I said, and learning a little bit on the Sugim Shtaris. So I came to the yeshiva. The Rashiva had an accident that winter. That was the winter he fell out of a car, then he had kidney trouble. And I came to the yeshiva around Purim time. I don't remember exactly. It was before Purim. And I came to the yeshiva the day that he came back from Florida. So I came that day, and then they put up a tzetel. They put up a tzetel. Everyone should go out to be mekabel panim. The yeshiva, the whole yeshiva went to Madison Avenue to be mekabel panim the car. So one bacha put up the tzetel. So Rabbi Yankiv Schiff said, you know, you heard of course Rabbi Yankiv Schiff.
Sure, yeah.
So Rabbi Yankiv said,
well, you have to know where to go, when.
That was Rabbi Yankiv Schiff. I remember him telling the Bocha, what's like the Tzedlach? So the whole yeshiva went to him a couple of points. It was a Gvaldik Simcha. He came into the yeshiva. He came into his little room in the old building there. And then he said,
I want to ask you a question. I want to verify something.
Yeah.
What was the name of the building before they bought it?
I don't know.
You didn't know? Somebody
told me. It was a hotel.
Yeah, what was the name of the hotel?
I don't know. Because I came years later.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't know.
Because somebody told me the name of the hotel.
Oh, I don't know.
So you don't know. Okay.
I haven't heard the name of the hotel.
All right.
And then we came into his room. I'm saying it wrong. It was in the other building we came into.
Which was the other building called?
I don't know. That was called the kitchen. We called
not
it the
Bendheim building.
No, the Bendheim building was later.
Where was the kitchen?
The kitchen building was, I mean, of course it was knocked down. It was somewhere, near that road where they made that you go out of the building by the dorms. I can't describe it exactly. It was around there.
Private
the
way.
You could look, before private way. If you look at it, no, it wasn't as much further away. You look at these pictures of it.
It wasn't very close.
It was, you know, with the new, with it, what I called the new building, the main basement. That road. So a little further down was the building.
It was on 7th Street.
Yeah, it was up between 6th and 7th Street.
It
was in like a driveway off. So I know that, and he had a room downstairs where he used to eat. People would come in to see him. He was in that room. I'll tell you, I don't remember so clearly.
Right.
Maybe I'm mixing it up. I think it was
the
that
facts
room.
Are not
that the other room was too small already. So he said, bring a chsam seifer. He brought a Jewish chsam seifer. He looked it up. And he benched good. It was Wednesday night. He benched Goimel then. Not wait till the next morning. Because the chsam seifer says that when the tzibur is there, that's this month to bench Goimel. So that's when he benched Goimel.
What month of the year was that?
It must have been Adar.
And what year was that?
Let me figure it out a minute. It was about 57, around 57.
Yeah, okay.
I can figure it out more exact, but I would say about 57.
Yeah.
And the next day he told me, and he told me I should learn with Moshe Hill Hirsch.
Right.
He says, Elan Zeya Grundlich, at Mayetsk effect, Akasha, Fushia Zeya Grundlich, was a learner with them. Okay, there were reasons why I didn't learn how to. Some Bachrim spoke Lashon Hara. I don't know if it was from Kin or what, and they said, don't learn with him.
Yeah.
And I was a tippish, I listened. Bachrim, who I knew before, I'm not saying any names.
Right.
He told me a lot of things. Okay, whatever
that's right.
It was.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make it fast because I'm getting busy here.
Okay, sorry. So I recall incidents.
Okay, I'll have to be Makatsa. I'll just tell you one incident.
Yeah.
One incident was in the old building, you had the base medrash, and he had his little room. And when you walked in and out of base medrash, he saw you, and you saw him. And anyone walked in or out.
Right.
So one weekday night in the winter time, he was standing over a Gemara about 4 o'clock, let's say. It was still light outside.
Yeah.
An hour later, he was still standing over the Gemara. It was getting dark. Then it was completely dark. And it was a couple of hours he was just standing over the Gemara.
Yeah.
So you saw he wasn't looking at the Gemara. He was thinking and learning.
Uh-huh.
And no one wanted to go over and put on the light. Everybody noticed this. But no one would go over. So you saw Mama, she was cool as Shaku and Tara. Okay, maybe we'll continue a different time.
Okay, I'm sorry. Start again. I didn't have the right plug in. Okay, start again.
The Shia versteht sich was Goynes, Chrifis, Bikias, Binyan, Svara, and it was sometimes very hard to follow a whole Shia. He spoke fast, he didn't repeat himself. But every Shia was a Shia in Avas HaTorah. You saw Mamish. Every svara, every teres, the way his face lit up, the way his face was shining. It was a shia in Avas HaTorah that was kihem chayenu, that was his whole mitzius, his whole chias, his whole life. Masam chelev. You saw a claw, the simchas HaTorah, the chias HaTorah, and that there's nothing else in the world but Torah. That was what you learned from a Shia.
Yeah.
There's many more things. He had a Valdika Mesiris to Talmidim.
Yeah.
Valdika closeness, even though everybody was afraid of him, whenever I met him, especially after the chasna in the street, coming, going, and always, was herzog, was mit panos, was gaitos, like he was always on his mind how to look for eitzes to make the panosa easier, to make it better. You saw his tefillah, his mardikah, kaychas, especially by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, was boiled, his tefillah, his Shema Yisrael. You saw the way his whole face got red, or the way he said the shmuzin on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You saw with Zapachad on Yira, when his structure was, and he was always sometimes mamish holding by crying, and you saw he held himself back. But you saw mardikah, Amos Hadin, Elul, it was Nikya, it was Elul on him. You could see he was walking around with a pachad. It was Nikya.
Did ever speak about that Indian explicitly, or just about the pachad of Elul? And
yeah, sure. You look at all the shmuzin, it's full. All the shmuzin, and the Rosh Hashanah, we had special shmuzin. I used to say Rosh Hashanah. And the whole year he didn't say too many shmuzim, but Elul, Yimei Slichas, on Rosh Hashanah, on Aseres Yimei Tshuva, on Yom Kippur by night, but then again he spoke before Nila, short, but he always spoke a few minutes before Nila also. And you saw by Sukkot, Dashuk and Lulav, and you saw the Simcha al Ponov. He told someone that the night of Leil Sukkot, the first night, he said he couldn't fall asleep. He was too excited about waiting to take the Esrog and Lulav in the morning. You saw on his face the simcha, the way he looked at that Esrog and Lulav that he held. The chvivos in which Esrog he took, and his cheshboinus and his saying.
How many Esrogim did he have?
He had a few. I don't remember exactly how many.
And which types?
He had Eretz Yisrael, he had one from Morocco. I don't remember all the types.
Which one did he make the bracha?
He had Eretz Yisrael one. Then it was his mechutin, the Schwarzman there. There was a Schwarzman paradise, a small paradise. He used to send him a... But he Bacha would bring him an esrog before Yom Kippur, he wouldn't look at it. He'd say, yes, it's nicht the Zeit. After Yom Kippur, first we brought over. We used to line up the morning after Yom Kippur and show him this rug, and we'd say, "This is good. This isn't. This is the mile. This is this." He would look over each one of the Esrogim.
How many people would be there to do that?
It wasn't that many, because the Yungalite, she was small, and we saw Yom Kippur. Most of the Yungalite went to New York already. Most of them. The Yungalite who were there, we had Esrogim. They would show them. Mabacha was once learning Erev Yom Kippur. He was learning Tur Beis Yosef Hilchas Ribbis. He was learning probably as an Eshech.
Yeah.
So Rashiva came over, looked over his shoulder, told him in Shmeichel, "Yet is nicht der Zeit. Yet's not the man in Sharit Shuvah Hilchas Shuvah." He said, "That's not Minyan of the Yom Erev Yom Kippur to learn Hilchas Ribbis." His Amunas Chachamim was unbelievable.
Example.
There was once, I remember 69 minutes maybe, it was 70 minutes, the baby was born Friday night, Bein Hashmashes, right before 72 minutes. Uh-huh. I thought it was 69, someone said it was 70. His mom was like a minute or two before, and he said to make the bris on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So after davening in the morning, a few of us went over to discuss it with him.
Yeah.
Someone was saying that he said first there's Rabbeinu Tam, it's third fourth, it's Kamar Rishonim, and you have to be Choshish Rishitas Rabbeinu Tam.
Mm-hmm.
So someone told him of a Mezetach, you see it's dark before.
Yeah.
He says, for the Amatzias, Fragment of Rabbeinu Tam, he got excited.
Mm-hmm.
For the Amatzias, Fragment of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam is up to. That was his Amunas Chachamim.
Is the reality.
Yeah, that's the reality. I've been Thomas Oktazai.
Any other examples of that on Haga?
Munis Chacham.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a mice I had personally with him. Someone in New York, a Rav, who I knew, was an enikel of a Talmud of the Chassam Soifa.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an old safe and he wanted to print it. And he said, if I'll have Haskama for the Rosh Hashiva, it'll sell Leilam HaTorah.
Yeah.
So he gave me an old copy. He gave me to show it to the Reshiva. I brought it to the Reshiva. And I went over to him once, twice. He said he was doichem. He liked it. Didn't see it yet. It's going to. Finally, this Rav calls him from New York. We're going to print. Yeah. He says, and I have to know. I have to have Askama. Yeah. So I went over to him. I said, the Rav in Migaruf, and he said, he needs, you know, he can't wait anymore. He says, Chesed was the time. He said, Ashton's, he didn't hold him as you say to see Goy in his lumbus. It was very Higoyan. And Satan's, he said, yet the Molvas that bring the Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer Zokta Fakert. And he got very nostalgic. Yet the Molvas that bring the Rebbe, Dignazich. And he didn't give a Haskama.
This Sofer was written by somebody from before.
Yeah, there's a Talmud in the Chassam Sofer. And so I told this story over to Reb Shneur.
Yeah.
Reb Shneur remembered the story, and when an Einikol, a different Einikol, came to visit in Lakewood, he told the Einikol over this story.
Yeah.
So the Einikol said, Eino the Moimed Al Das Rabbi till he's 40.
Yeah.
So when he was 40 years old, he went to the Chassam Sofer's Kever, Bet Mechila, was at Sufil Gedungen. So the Hergish of the Rashi was an emissary Hergish. But the Hergish was, Yed Amolvas would bring the Rebbe, Zokhtan Fakir to Rebbe. That was by him, Ashver Zach.
He really looked into it well.
Yeah. And you see, his Hergish was Emes. That's a Chesufil Gedungen of Rebbe. But that was him, his Rebbeim, when he would mention the Goyin's name on Shavuos, he used to say Mises. His face would get red. He mentioned the Goyin's name. He would sit there, Reb Chaim Volozhin, Reb Yisrael, Reb Zundel. The Imamish, you saw a pachat on him of just mentioning their names, just talking about them. It was by him, the Friedrich Gedoris was Kodesh Kedoshim. I'll tell you a story that someone about Meisa told me.
Yeah.
This person had to go with. To New York with the Reshiva. Yeah. He was an Israeli. They wanted to take him. They wanted to deport him. He didn't register. Whatever he had trouble with, he was supposed to go into the army in Eretz Yisrael, left the country. So he was going to Reshiva to New York. So Reb Hillel Zaks, now he's Reshiva in Chevron, was driving the car.
Yeah.
Reshiva was in the car in his bocha. When they got to County Line Road, the Reshiva says, Mizel Tzrikain. So they go back, and the Reshiva says, Vartzu, he had a bag in his hand. He goes, Vartzu, Chubaldar is coming.
Yeah.
He goes into the building. But this Bocha was not a Shemadika Bocha. He followed him.
Yeah.
He went into the old building, in the kitchen. It's hard to visualize the building. There was a little pantry on the side. So he had a bag in his hand with two apples in it. He threw the apples back into that barrel. And he looked around, and took out different apples and put it in the bag. He turns around, he sees the bocha there.
Right.
He didn't say a word. They went to New York. The bocha slept over in the Reshiva's house.
Yeah.
And then, right before he went to sleep, he tells the bocha, he learned with him alone. He said, Mistama, you're wondering what I was doing. He said, I'm not the balabas of the yeshiva. The yeshiva belongs to the cloud. But when I'm in the yeshiva, I'm working for the yeshiva, so I have a schus to eat in the yeshiva. But when I go home, I have no schus to take the yeshiva's food. I have to buy my own food and pay for it myself. There was a lady, Mrs. Berman, in Almona, who lived in the yeshiva. And Agavurch, every Friday night when he would come over from the other building, the first thing he would do was to go into the kitchen and say good Shabbos to her. And he says, she gave me two big apples. I won't. It was too much for me. I wouldn't eat the whole thing. So it'd be left over. I have no right to take it. So he came back to the yeshiva and he took smaller apples because he was going from the yeshiva to work in the office. So in the office he had a schus to eat. So the next day the bocha asked Rabbi Finkelstein, who used to buy all the food, he asked him, how much did a barrel of apples cost? He says, $1.50.
Right.
So he made a cheshbon, each apple was about 2 or 3 cents. But he wouldn't take, he's not the Bala boss, it's not his yeshiva.
Right here. The Bach is still here, right?
What?
The Bach is still here.
You know who he is,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
He told you the story.
I heard it from somebody else.
Yeah, he told it to me.
We got him out of the army.
What?
I never mind.
Yeah, I don't know. He couldn't go back there.
Right,
well.
Right. Okay.
Okay, there's not much more.
Okay, so why don't you give a hard minute on the whole thing?
What?
It's a hard minute on the whole Union.
The whole Union was when he once said in the Hesped, he once gave a Hesped after the Briskerov was nifty, gave a Hesped in New York, and he spoke about the three Gedolei Hador that were nifty and not that Kufa, a little bit earlier, the Briskerov, Rabbi Zalman, the Chazonish. Those were like his three Rebbeim who he looked up to. So he says, what's the Tzadah Shavah Shebehem? They're Anche Yemes. That they had the meat of Emes. By him he could say he didn't mean himself, he did for the Abish, he did for Klal Yisrael. You saw by him was Kula Emes, and if someone said something connected to the Torah, there was once a story that in a good convention, some Rav got up and said that maybe now we have to change the Constitution, now America is different, and it wasn't Europe. The Rashiva stopped in the middle of talking, and he said to him, what the Gedolei Yisrael, when Yasid Aguda, it blibes Lenetzach, there doesn't have to be any changes.
What was the Indian that he wanted to change?
I don't know what he wanted to, whatever it was. He says, there's nothing to change. And this Rav got up and said that he wasn't here in 10 years at Aguda convention. So Rashiva said, you weren't here for 10 years, that's the Shkumanachat Tenya. He says, they're not Mashana from, he stopped him speaking in the middle. Barab in front of who knows how many people. Because by him, it was Azach, that was Emes, he held Mulchama for the Emes. He didn't care what happened to him or the yeshiva. The Rebbetzin had told me a story that the Briskerov, not the Briskerov, the Chazaynish, and Rabbi Zalman wrote him when it was the Gzer of Giyaz Bonos, he came for Giyaz Bonos.
Yeah.
So, people were giving him a lot of trouble. Most of the Balabatim was Rachi Balabatim. So Shiva says, "As Mekenny came from Fadas Torah, was Tafmin a Yeshiva. The Balzim Gizokt Mizol Kemfin. Thus is Das Torah, and Thus Tafmin Ton." And they say a different story. I don't remember where I heard this one from. That Balabatim said, "We won't give money to the Yeshiva." So he says, "It's also from Machin the Yeshiva." But Gedolim say, thus is us. Of course, they were taken aback. They didn't expect them to answer that. They still kept it. Then I heard from Rabbi Yankov Weisberg, he's the one who has the most to say, that there was a parlor meeting in the West Side. And Gustav Stern, he's the big millionaire who Stern's college is named after, came. So they introduce him to the Rashiva. And they say, this is Mr. Stern. He's the one who's building Hechel Shloima.
Right.
So Rashiva's the Hechel Shloima. This is also. Tartnish Gevin can't get for them. And he was a Gvir. And he opened up a mouth to the Rashiva. And the Rashiva gave it to him back, and he walked out. He was supposed to get $5,000. This goes back, say, 50 years ago, $5,000. So someone says to this Stern like this, don't you see he's in the Shemis? In the yeshiva, there's no food to eat. They can't pay the bills. And he doesn't care. If he holds something as Emes, he doesn't care if the yeshiva loses all the money. He has to go with the Emes. And he gave the $5,000.
What was the issue that, what was the punkt that, what was about that, the Indian by the Hechel Shem, that was it? What was
the Indian of Hechel Shem?
Yeah.
The Indian was, Rashiva spoke about it, there's a tape on it that he spoke, to cover the Briskerov, they wanted to make America's Rabboni Elami. They wanted to make a world rabbinical organization. And Rashiva said, and I saw written from Henkin, who wasn't from the Big Hanoyim, they want to make a Sanhedrin. And they want to be Mata Asurim.
Wow.
That's where Henkin writes in a letter. I saw the letter. I think it was printed in the Paradise in the Kufa.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And I actually got a copy of it.
I think I saw it there. all the way back.
Rav Henkin wrote the letter.
Yeah, Rav Henkin.
And he was, said he was against it.
He said they want to be matasurim. I was either there in the Hamor, I don't remember. I saw it in the Yarchin, it was a long time ago. And the Rashiva said like this, it's on the tape.
Yeah.
He said, Vazon Zoltan, with them and Allah Rabbanim, they'll make an election, and the president resigned to God Lador. Says, Azoy Machmish can God Lador. God Lador is a hergish from Klal Yisrael Tzegedoyim. So the Chazonish is given behalten. With them all, everyone went to the Chazonish. That's the hergish from Klal Yisrael Tzegedoyim.
He didn't hold from that. Okay. It's a cold, so thank you very much. I'm sorry to bother you so much.
Okay.
Cold. Yeah, cold.